give her another 5 minutes, but you just, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You can stay. What's that?
I stay.
You guys?
Yeah.
I'm waiting until it's close.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good. Right.
It's go by satellite.
Yeah, you need Achilles trustee, don't we?
Yeah. We have quorum, so I think we'll get started, and then hopefully she'll come late.
Okay.
Okay, it's 6 a.m., so...
P.M.,
sorry. Packer night. So we'll call the meeting of September 28th, 2015, Planning Commission to order. Kowalczyk Adriaans?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
Rapp?
Here.
Kornowski is here. Excused is Roger Retzlaff, Knorr, Wheeler, and Trustee Dart. So we'll move forward to item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. I have a few things. If it's possible, we could table items 9 through 13 with respect for time. So if we have a motion to do that, I'll entertain that.
I'll make a motion to table items 9 through 13 till our next Planning Commission meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Items 9 through 13 will go to October 26th. Item number 3, minutes from August 31st, 2015. I will entertain a motion to table those or that approval to 10-26 also, given that we have not received them.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item number 4, announcements. Trevor or Brad, do you have any announcements? Planning Commission members, any announcements?
No.
Okay. We'll move on to item number 5, public appearances. I assume from the audience that we're here to talk about item number 6, most likely. So I guess what we're looking at doing is maybe going through the presentation and suspending the rules and enabling everybody to come up as we're talking about that item. So you feel free to come up to the podium and talk right now during the public appearances section, but you will have the opportunity to talk again as we're discussing item number 6. So...
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. We're going to talk about a lot of different things tonight. I just want to encourage the committee here to recognize that you have the unique opportunity when granting a variance or changing the zoning or granting the PDD to make sure that the site on St. Joseph Street and Riverside Drive represents the very best that LA can get, because you are going to be making a change at the request. And the people of St. Joseph's Street condominiums and Webster Heights condominiums and everybody who wants to see the waterfront redeveloped deserves to have something really pretty special on that site. You put Quick Trip through the ringer, and I think that Quick Trip had some nice designs, and I think that the village is entitled to have this as one of our premier sites in the village, and we'd like to see it developed as top-notch as possible. Thanks.
I was going to wait for mine. However, I was kind of in a hurry to leave, and I was hoping that maybe you table ours like you tabled everything else. I asked a few days ago, last week, if they could move the meeting, and just because there's not a big turnout, Doesn't mean that people don't care. I just want you all to know that. Tonight is a Monday Night Football in Green Bay, and of course I'm thinking that's why the rest of your representatives didn't show up today. But I just want to let Chris Oyle know that we do care, that the people in this community do care what goes in that site, what, regardless of if we live in the backyard or 2 miles down the street. But some key points that I want to bring out is, yes, I was supposed to be at a tailgate party tonight for my company and sponsoring our customers and helping out there, but I chose to come here. And I guess the second best thing of not being at the game or not being at a tailgate party is looking out my back door and seeing the Packer Stadium without bright lights shining in my eyes and hearing the stadium crowds when they cheer at night. And I hate to lose that ability to hear the games, to see the games, for that matter. Not to see the games, but to see the Tron and the whatever you want to call it. And also my concern is, again, the roadway and the access. And I'm hoping that if Chris Oy is allowed to go onto the site, that they're dealing with the traffic issues down St. Joseph. What are the accesses into the service station? Is Riverside going to be an option or not? If not, I can't imagine the traffic on St. Joseph. I can't imagine the dangers we already are facing, dangers without no sidewalks and the people that use that street to walk to get down to the walk, to the Riverside walk. It's going to be more treacherous for them. So I just wanted to open up those items to the committee members and to the people in the back. There's one other thing that I wanted to talk about, but unfortunately I probably didn't write it down. But thank you for your time, and I do hope you look at what's in your backyard. And when you look out your backyard, do you look at a gas station? Because I do not want to look at a gas station. This is my retirement home. I bought it 15 years ago to retire in. And I may not look old enough to retire, but I am reaching it fairly soon and would enjoy the view that I have now and would not like to look at a backyard of a gas station. Thank you.
Ma'am, just a matter of protocol, can you please state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Carrie DeGrief, 366 West St. Joseph, Unit 6.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Ben Wagner at 366 West St. Joseph Street. And I spoke at the last meeting, and I'm not going to revisit those points, but if I were sitting in your position, and in the words of your own administrator, that Alloway is being recognized as a medical corridor, when you look at what's happened on Libel Street and Riverside Drive and Webster, there's been a lot of medical development over the past 10 years, and with their proximity to the hospital, it makes a lot of sense. And if I were sitting in your particular position, I wouldn't want to miss an opportunity on a piece of property like that in terms of developing that as a medical site as well. And if you look back at it 10 years from now or whatever, and say regretfully that we missed a marvelous opportunity to turn that piece of property into another medical situation. So, thank you.
I'm Winifred Brown, 340 West St. Joseph Street. I am here as president of our condo association, and most of our owners are retirees, so we object to the approval of Chris Doyle to proceed and for the council to proceed with this project. According to the Press Gazette today, it kind of indicated that everything was going to go through. As has mentioned before, our property values will decrease, and it is our main concern is the danger exiting our driveway onto St. Joseph Street. There's a curve there, and the traffic goes at a good speed, so it's very dangerous exiting. And then it's also a danger to get onto Riverside Drive. And St. Joseph Street is used by the emergency vehicles, the rescue squad, the fire engine, and the police cars get west down to Riverside Drive. So the traffic coming and going from the gas station is definitely going to be a hazard. We feel that it's already dangerous, and it would be create a nuisance. Last night or early morning, I don't know if the town is, they're being allowed to store some of their equipment. They're working on the roadway up on Webster. But 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, there was a lot of action down there, and you can hear that. So clear up into the condos. There's no noise barrier with being up on the hill. And the nature of our neighborhood would be changed completely. So in conclusion, we, the neighbors at West St. Joseph Street, strongly urge the board to deny the request for Crystal Oil to proceed with this project in this area. Thank you.
I'm Jack Fisher at 340 West St. Joseph Street. Now, a few weeks ago, somebody wanted to build a gas station on Webster, and it was turned down because I understand from what I saw in the paper that they said there's a need for more elderly housing. Now, on West St. Joseph Street, on the north side of the street, this is a street of only one block. The north side is nothing but elderly housing. But suddenly now we want to build a gas station and a convenience store, which will occupy all of the rest of St. Joseph Street on the north side, which will eliminate any possibility of any additional elderly housing being built on that street. And at the same time, if that gas station is built, the value of the present housing, elderly housing, will do nothing but go down. Thank you.
Marjorie Beckman. I live at 300 West St. Joseph Street in a condominium. I'm not going to address, everybody's talked about what we don't want on that corner. I'm going to address you as our planning committee. As a planning committee, you have a responsibility in the job that you have to do what is very best for our community, to maintain it, keep it in good condition and all, and maintain it for families, because it mainly consists of families. Now, we have an awful lot of gas stations already. I think we don't need another gas station. We have 5 within a 1 mile radius. We would have 2 within a 3 block area. So I'm just going to ask you as a planning board to think about what your responsibility is to represent this community. And if you vote for something that is so detrimental to citizens, I think then you're derelict in your duty. So I really think, as a planning board representative, I know a little bit about a planning board. My husband was on this same planning board for 25 years, so I know what the responsibility is that you have to try to maintain this community as best that you can, which doesn't include another gas station. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Like I said, we'll have more discussion after the presentation by Chris. So if there's not any more public discussion, we can move on to item number 6, which is the final approval of petition from Chris Oil requesting plan development district on parcel AL-56-2 located at 1921 Riverside Drive.
I'm Craig Richardson, representing Crystal Oil. I'm the engineering project manager. And I do have a couple of revisions since we received some comments working with Trevor, particularly with the building. Some things have changed slightly. Reason I don't think my files it's come, it's not reading it. I don't know if it didn't install correctly.
Is it on a flash drive?
Check that before it's just a flash drive, but
what else am I getting?
I checked the files before I left. If we can run through it without the plans, everybody's I think has seen them.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
And we can.
Otherwise, I.
Is this the same for the building?
Yeah,
just except for the two. I mean, I have my laptop in the car with it on there. Is it backed up?
Would prefer if we had plans up on the screen for the residents.
I mean, it only take 2 minutes to.
Yeah,
go ahead and do it. Sorry about that.
So, just because some of them, I don't know if they should be, public record.
Well, it sounded like you wanted to incorporate them.
Did it?
Please incorporate the following comment into the record.
That's
pretty clear.
Some of the stuff that I was reading, I'm like, I don't know if we really want to.
So we could cite this and say,
maybe we ask Brad or Trevor.
Trevor was a little nervous about that.
About actually citing this.
I guess we could as resident comments.
Just what?
Resident comments.
Okay. Versus commissioner comments.
I think so.
for that. So the proposed site plan is what we're showing here. You know, the site layout has probably changed substantially since the preliminary submittal. You know, taking into some of the concerns, you know, going through that process, you know, primarily we're looking at along Riverside Drive. You know, we had taken into account what the Department of Transportation's plans are for the future with taking some more real estate. So basically, we kind of pushed everything to the east to accommodate their work, showed the future sidewalk. And then what we had done is taken the parking, moved that to the rear of the site, and then out front is where the stormwater ponds are going to be. And then, which also, you know, we shifted the driveways coming out on West St. Joseph, you know, further to the east. So we have about, you know, 80 feet of room for the egress driveway, and which is about four car lengths. You know, cars can easily maneuver on and off the site. And you've got about, you know, four car lengths of stacking distance there, you know, to come out of the site to get back on the Riverside Drive. And that's, you know, about the minimum you'd want to have, but provides adequate space there, in our opinion, based off the traffic counts. And we did show, you know, a conceptual proposed driveway off of Riverside Drive. You know, depending on how this process goes, you know, the plans would be is to apply for that from WISDOT. And then, basically, to the rear of the site, we're going to have a keystone retaining wall, which is a split-face block-type retaining wall. About 4 feet high there to barrier off because of the elevation change. You know, putting the sidewalk in along Riverside Drive and also bringing a pathway to the building from there. And my brightness is all the way up. So like I said, we've got a proposed future driveway. So if things continue in the process, you know, we'll apply for a driveway to help alleviate some of the suggested congestion off of here. You know, just leaving, showing spatially, leaving enough room for the widening project to occur, and then where their sidewalk would go, their pathway. And then here's where the detention basins would be. So basically just some natural planting similar to what you would see in that detention basin across the street. You know, ingress driveway coming here, traffic would flow out here. Like I said, about 80 feet from the intersection of Riverside Drive. You know, a semi-truck, if it were to come in here for supplies or fueling or whatever, you know, you have 80 feet. So you have enough for a truck plus a semi, if that's a concern. Like I said, in the back of the site here would be a 4 foot high split face block, keystone retaining wall, gravity wall. And we plan to install a sidewalk along West St. Joseph with an access all the way up to the building store. And we added some little curb bump outs here to do some plantings. And then a monument sign on the southwest corner of the parcel.
Well, that's a highway down there.
And here's the proposed landscaping plan, which we have received several comments on, and we're basically, you know, taking those under advisement, and depending on if the process continues or not, our intent is to address these as soon as possible to move forward with the village's approval. But basically, it's some bioretention, native plantings in the detention basins here. Some low shrubs out in here for decoration. There's going to be a bike rack over here. And then some lower shrubs, native plantings that doesn't have to be mowed here. You know, these trees probably grow about 13 feet. So just to try and provide some barrier to the east for that. And then required street trees here. And that's basically, and then basically some lawn, native lawn mix here, which would be maintained by Crist. I don't know if there's any questions on there.
Okay.
This is just the proposed storm plan. I've been working with the DPW director on that. Basically had some comments. We're providing some further information as we move forward to get approval on that, along with our required permits. The photometric lighting plan, you know, basically we have LED, you know, down lights in the canopy, and then there's lights in the soffit on the, you know, front of the building facing towards Riverside to the west, some to the south, and then basically we have some LED wall packs, you know, for security and lighting on the rest of the perimeter of the building. And I know it's hard to see some of the values, but basically all the light is basically contained on the site. Once you get out here, it's basically zero lumens out there. Everything's dark sky compliant. Everything shines down. There shouldn't be, you know, too much light pollution there, as the plan shows. There were some preliminary comments about maybe, you know, adding a little bit more lighting here for anybody who parks on the side and back there, which is fairly simple to do. Just to provide some greater visibility. And then we had, since they're settled, we had done some revisions based off some comments about the traditional look of the Chris stores, and then trying to, you know, make it look somewhat more residential, and just trying to keep with the theme of, you know, adding some dormers with some windows to just trying to break up the pattern, add some, you know, stone-faced red brick patterns in here. And then we did revise the store signage to only one sign facing Riverside Drive and well within the signage requirements. The gas canopy is it's going to be a single pier design with the bricks on the piers to match the building for the requirements. And then we have LED message board sign, a maximum of 8 feet in height, and also well within the requirements for the sign. And then these are just the proposed renderings of the building, you know, kind of a beige tan brick versus, you know, the reddish brick, the split face there, and then the dormers with the windows, and then the store face there. I don't know if anybody has any comments on either the plan or the building itself.
That retaining wall that you're proposing that would go on the east side, what are you proposing there? Are you proposing, it was on the original plan, I don't know if it's on the revised, but if I'm looking at sheets.
Yeah, that'd be on the...
It's on the proposed site plan, sheet 02C-2, sheet 4.
Right. Yep, that's right here.
What are you thinking that's going to be? Is that going to be block? Is that?
Yep, that's the. In the past, we use that keystone. It's like a split face block. Usually, you know, just a darker color, you know, gray or brown, 4 feet tall. It's a gravity wall.
Excuse me, is that the retaining wall that's already there?
No, the retaining wall that's there is back here.
Okay.
It won't be concrete. It'll be a split face block retaining wall.
So there's empty space between the wall and the one that's already there.
Yeah, there's. I think it's probably about over 210 feet from the wall to this retaining wall here. So the remaining parcel is about a. From the proposed retaining wall to the existing retaining wall.
What are you
going to
do with the space in the
middle? Now it's just to remove everything that's there and basically plant grass, landscape it.
Okay.
Will that be split off then for a future parcel? I mean, that was discussed at the
meeting.
That there's not a plan right now to divide that into a separate parcel.
I think the comments now were to just keep it as one parcel until we get this approved, and then look to split that off. Is that a comment I saw, or
maybe I interpreted that wrong?
Yeah, I think as part of the approval, you would want to
approve it as a single parcel.
Approve as a single parcel, right?
But the owner's hope is in the future to create a separate development out of that.
One of the recommendations is that would be to keep the parcel number the same, the one that remains as Crystal. Just for records purposes.
Please let the record show, Trustee Dart. Is it? Enter the meeting.
I had a question.
I'm Chris Tatanasoff, the owner. I'd just like to say that the back parcel there, once this project is all complete, we're going to list that back parcel for sale, and hopefully we can get a professional building to come in, like hopefully a dentist or an optometrist or something like that. There's enough room there to put a nice building in. They could even use that retaining wall as part of the building. There's more than enough concrete there.
Because the proposed development is just over 1.1 acres, and there still leaves just an acre left.
So we're hoping to find a buyer for a suitable use there that meets the medical community. It'd be really good if we could find somebody. I just thought I'd like to throw that in there. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the only note we had on there was basically as a proposed future lot line, basically somewhere in this area. And for now, you know, we're just going to create, you know, with the landscaping, create a little swale there to capture the runoff and then discharge it appropriately. So,
excuse me, I have a question about the plans that you distributed to us.
Yes.
The west elevation appears to just be a blank wall. Is that correct? In other words, that's the side that's, if I'm understanding correctly, is facing Riverside Drive. And so as we drive down Riverside Drive, we see the west elevation, which is not the entrance to the facility. It doesn't appear to have any entrances. And so it appears that we'd be just looking at the back of the building.
I think maybe when our architect revised it, he must have
mixed them up. That might be a mistake. That wouldn't make a ton of sense.
The
west should be on the bottom. That's correct. Yes.
Just wanted to make sure we understood.
Not
going to be that.
Different than the vision from what's in from this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we get one more copy of the updated sheets?
Thank you.
So it looks like some of the things that were discussed at the board meeting with regard to some of the concerns of the residents was hours of operation and addressing a need to close at 10 in order to,
correct.
The noise and things like that. There are a couple of other things that I'm not sure just how they're being addressed, but one of them is the location. There's a question that says, has consideration been given to putting the store close up by Riverside and having the pumps in the back? How has that been? I didn't see a response to that particular comment anywhere in the documents. Was that looked at? Is that?
It just doesn't seem to work for this site doing it that way. You know, you do lose your visibility and your frontage, and then it also puts more of the light towards the residential side of things. You know, the canopy lights, the intensity of light is going to be on the other side of the site. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as far as the stormwater flow, then, you know, everything flows from the east to the west, and it just makes sense to orientate everything this way.
One of the comments in your commentary was relating to having access to the Fox River Trail, you know, folks that are on the Fox River Trail. You know, you're claiming that this would be, you know, an opportunity for people using the trail to get off the trail and come for a snack. You realize, of course, that you can't have any signage on the trail.
Yeah.
And it's private property on the other side of the roadway with not a direct access.
Correct.
So, I guess.
I think my intent with the question is, you know, with that concern is, you know, we just said it's a source for users.
Well,
it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going
to
come off the trail, but as they're going to and from the trail, that might be a stop.
Yeah, and, you know, they still may.
Right, and we realize there's no crossing on Riverside.
Yeah,
right.
But there are crossings nearby. Another question that had to do with some comments that are in our comprehensive plan and our corridor study that we've recently completed. And we talk about this, whatever goes in this area, as being kind of a gathering space, you know, where community members, people can come together and have coffee or whatever. And I know you've mentioned that in your commentary as well. I just wondered what you had in mind. I mean, I've only been in one other Chris store. That's the one that's out by the airport. And, you know, what I saw were some microwaves and a couple of these, like, stand-up tables, you know, that you see in the airport when you need to
bring
a quick bite. Do you have something other than that planned? Because that doesn't look very welcoming to me, or, you know, conducive to gathering.
Right. So all I can say is we haven't finalized the floor plan, but that's definitely input we can take into, you know, if this project moves forward. And we did discuss, you know, the possibility of, you know, maybe some outdoor park space with a picnic table or something, and just trying to fit everything and still leaving, you know, the other part of the parcel is usable. It's just kind of the balance. And we try to maintain with the site.
Thank you.
Has there been any consideration given to the board's comments regarding the requirement to close at 10 p.m.?
Yeah, I think if you look at the impact analysis, you know, it is mentioned in there that, you know, basically it's been discussed that if the village wants to impose the 6 to 10, you know, they're okay with that. I think it's on page 3, the top of page 3 there. Basically, the concern for noise is being addressed by the village limiting the food mart operating hours from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
But the pumps would still maintain 24-hour access, right? Just the store would be closed, or would the pumps also be restricted?
Pumps would be closed.
Pumps would be restricted too during that time. I don't know. Is that beneficial?
That's official.
But is it? That's what I'm asking. Is it beneficial to have a gas station there with not having 24-hour pump service? I mean, I understand the closing of the store. I don't.
Somebody coming in at 2 in the morning from the hospital needs gas.
Right.
You know, if it's okay with the village, sure, we'd be happy to put it in operation. Maybe one island with a motion sensor light for safety or security, that type of thing. It's totally up to the planning commission. If, you know, if that's what you want, we can do it. Not a problem.
But the comment in the report refers to the entire business operation being closed at 10.
Right. I guess that's the way I understood it from the previous meeting.
With regard to the dumpster enclosure, have turning movements been evaluated for that? It doesn't look like there's adequate maneuvering space for a dumpster to pull in and get the dumpster. It appears that you would have to pull the dumpsters out in order for the dump truck to have access to.
Mm-hmm. It's a little tight, but Chris does their own garbage pickup. I'm assuming that's the same on this site as well. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I did want to know, too, if this project does move forward, as in the impact analysis. We also included a staging plan and schedule. You know, the intent would be as quickly as possible if things were to move forward, getting all necessary approvals, building permits and such. You know, Chris is anticipating starting it, the end of this year, and then, basically working through the winter and finishing sometime mid-year, as far as the schedule. And, there won't be any staging of the project required. So just wanted to add that.
I'm concerned a little bit with the impact analysis on village facilities. I don't know that it'd be prudent to move forward without, I guess, affirmative direction from WISDOT whether or not you're going to be able to get a curb cut off Riverside. Because the traffic flow on St. Joseph is going to increase substantially. So that's one of my major concerns. If they're unable to get that curb cut, then St. Joseph, because they're not able to get the easement from the diocese, is going to be the only access point.
That was my concern also. And with the configuration of the roadway, when they reconstruct it, there'll be a center island there, which means that even with the curb cut, it would only be like a right in, right out.
Yeah, we did talk about WISDOT, and fully understand that.
Right. Our concern is, if you don't have the answer to that question, and we grant approval or to go ahead, and then all of a sudden WISDOT says no, then we've, in effect, created a more of a traffic problem.
Right. And
so it's nice to think that with that curb cut, traffic will be alleviated, but we don't know if it's going to happen.
Right. So that, and that's, Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, but the village maintains West St. Joseph, right?
Correct.
So the impact on community facilities should probably include something to that effect. So that's my hang-up.
My biggest hang-up is actually with respect to the corridor study that was recently completed. This is such a big deviation from what was visualized, and I realize that the corridor study is only a guide, but going from the study, which really anticipated a multi-story, multi-use facility, and then also this much mention is made, and then what we're going to look at, item 7 next, the revisions to the comprehensive plan, talking about that Arboretum Trail, and that north side of St. Joseph being kind of the critical path area for the Arboretum Trail. And although we are providing a single row of trees as part of this plan, that Arboretum Trail was kind of carried the double row trees and just a kind of a broader landscape feel through there. I think we're really deviating substantially from the recommendations made in that plan to go here. I guess to me the only redeeming point would be that back parcel still has the potential to maybe meet some of that high density, higher employment, partial residential type of development that really was envisioned during all of the programming and everything that we did as part of that corridor study. I don't know how the rest of the
I have the same view. We did have a consultant that came and had many meetings with the public and the village staff and various committees and boards. And the result of that was approved by this body and by the village board. And again, it's the next item on our agenda, in which we'll discuss how to fold that into our comprehensive plan, which is the document by which we guide improvement and growth in our village. And that corridor study, which has been approved by the village as an action document, something we should refer to and use going forward. It talks about, as was mentioned. Typical uses for this site, like the area to the west, include multi-story, I'm talking about this intersection, the multi-story residential structure, 3 to 5 stories. Development could accommodate a small retail use, such as a cafe, restaurant, convenience store, gas station, or other ground-level commercial use integrated with residential or upper floors. And every paragraph that I read in that study talks about an integrated multi-use area. And this doesn't, to me, fit that bill, and I'm not comfortable with certainly not after we've had a lot of work put into something that's going to help us determine how we plan growth in the future. This would stop that growth before we even get started with it. So at this point, I'm not in favor of, and would probably not vote in favor of, approving this.
I think we probably have to be real, too, to Howard's point, too, is, you know, this is probably not going to be an amenity for trail users. They're not going to want to cross Riverside Drive. They're going to keep on going down to the other gas station further down into Pier. That's my assumption, anyway. So I think we can cross that off the list as being an amenity for the trail users. I don't believe that's going to be the case. And then, you know, we did receive comments from resident Roger Retzlaff regarding his opinions on that, and we'll submit those for the record as a resident of the Village of Alloway. You know, he kind of went through the same things that we were just talking about, Kendra was just talking about, was how we are deviating kind of substantially from our next agenda item, which is making this difficult.
I would also like to echo the comments of the other plan commissioners that we put in a lot of effort to develop the corridor study. Meetings were very well attended, and I think everybody really had their voice heard about what kind of vision we see for that corridor, and this doesn't seem to align well with that. And just having completed that corridor study without even putting much effort yet into further planning to implement that plan, to already make a decision that deviates from that doesn't seem like a good idea.
I don't know if the other plan commissioners feel the same way, but, you know, if this does not move forward, I think we can probably expect there won't be any activity on that site until Riverside Drive is complete. Mm-hmm. So,
so, yeah, the downside is that we'd be basically closing off an opportunity for development on a piece of land that's been out there and needed development. I mean, it's in definitely in a state of needing some upkeep or wanting something new. So in that respect, this proposal is definitely a higher and better use than what's going on there right now. The question is it the highest and best use, and is it the kind of development we want to see?
One of the comments that I read stated that the use of this station would be for people traveling through the village from some place south to some place north, and that the village really doesn't receive a lot of benefit from it. It's a place to get gas if you're going to town, and it's removed from the mainstream of the village. Villagers are not going to walk to it to get coffee. So again, it uses that land, but it just seems that we're not being good, stewards. We're not really taking care of the needs of our villagers if we put something there that they don't really perceive a benefit in, and that I can't see that would be used. It'll just be used by people traveling through, and I don't know that that's should be the intended purpose of that plot of land. Certainly it wasn't brought up in our comprehensive plan or our corridor study.
Brad has a comment.
I was on the DOT website this morning,
And just to give you an update, I was going to give that later on, but it's critical to the discussion. The reconstruction of Riverside Drive has been pushed back to 2021/2022.
Is that now? Is that in because of the redesign that the board requested with the removal of the bike lanes?
State budget cuts.
Oh, budget cuts. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd just like to say something. I agree with the corridor plan study and what we're looking at, but I also remember many conversations about Quick Trip wanting a location, and it was the diocese property wasn't the appropriate, and there was so much conversation about this other piece of property being a better location. So, and I know the plan commission had discussed that, and I know the board members had discussed that. I'd like to see something happen somewhere. I'm not totally against this idea. I know, and I know it deviates from the plan somewhat, but we need to start somewhere. And yes, I knew about the highway. The DOT called me the other day, and that's a long time out already. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can't get a curb, if the DOT isn't going to be putting a curb cut in there for Christ, would they do it? What makes us think they would do it for someone else? Is that always a potential problem? And that, I don't know. Is that, Brad, is that, no matter who goes there, is that a potential problem?
Yes.
I think the difference would have to be whether it's a short-term type of use where you've got constant traffic flow in and out, or if it's more of a long-term type of use where traffic is coming in or going out more, staying a while. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, my experience with DOTs and driveway permits, it's more on the volumes and such, space requirements than necessarily with the type of businesses. But
right, I think if they're not going to allow it for this, they probably won't allow it for anything. But I'm saying that the driveways that, so then we're only allowed access off of West St. Joseph, is that whether that's going to be a problem is going to depend on, I think, how high turnover of vehicle usage the site sees.
Well, if I think of like a medical facility, like Purveya, for instance, if you ever look there on Webster Street, there's an awful lot of cars that come in and out of there. Mm-hmm. I would say probably more than a gas station in a day.
The size of that building isn't going to compare to this gas station. You can't compare those two.
I'm not comparing business, I'm comparing the traffic.
Right, you can't compare the traffic to the huge Privia clinic to that convenience store. Mm-hmm. Totally a different size business. Mm-hmm. Totally a different business.
Yeah, I don't think that wasn't the intent.
Can we get a time to speak, please? Is there time for us to speak again?
Yeah, we're just please commenting amongst the Planning Commission right now. We'll suspend the rules in a minute here and talk
you
again. This is your business, and you can make decisions as you see fit, or Chris can, but has there been any thought? You've gathered you've got interest in a pretty particular and specific piece of property that's really kind of the village's goal to develop into more of a high-density type use. Have you thought about partnering with anyone else to develop the entire site rather than just splitting off and having a gas station? Has that been considered? You know, in the economic development world, you may or may not, are about to acquire a pretty substantial piece of property. And in the essence of economies of scale and other factors, I don't see why you couldn't find somebody to partner with and develop that other piece right away and come in with one big project.
Comment on that. He's our really expert.
Sure.
And our agent, and he knows the Green Bay real estate market better than anyone.
As long as he comes to the microphone.
Yes.
I'm Paul Hamachek. I think without a doubt that Chris would like to see that site developed as soon as possible after they get it developed. and hopefully with a complementing business, something that would be attractive and act as a buffer for the neighbors to the rear of the property. We don't have a specific user in mind. I think once construction starts and it's made public what the size of that development is and what would be available to build on, it's likely we could find a medical user or a professional office of some sort, or possibly even a housing type of development will go there.
I guess just kind of educate me a little bit as to why that effort hasn't been made yet.
Well, because the site plan hasn't been finally approved, and we don't know the size of the site. We don't know the exact elevations, and these details have to be worked out before we can actively pursue another buyer for that site. And we have some ideas in mind as far as I've mentioned, to go there. But
you know the footprint.
We know the footprint now if this plan is approved, yes. So we can proceed and try and find someone. Understand that at this point that Chris do not own the property.
No, I completely understand that. You know, but that's part of it. It's so much more attractive to come in with a group, you know. And
I think everybody's in agreement on that, and that would be the ultimate goal. I understand that I serve on the plan commission for the Village of Bellevue, so I understand what you're going through. And the comprehensive plan that you've put together is a great one, but you have to keep in mind the practicality of how long it may take to find a developer that's going to put a mixed-use facility on that site with retail on the first floor and another 2 to 4 stories of residential. It may sit a long time before that happens. Thank you.
Now, is there any other questions on the plan, or?
You guys good? Okay. Can I get a motion to suspend the rules to allow the public to comment?
I'll second.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Public discussion. If you want to come up to the microphone, please state your name and address. And yeah, you'll have to do it again.
Hi. I'm here again. Carrie Degree, 366 West St. Joseph, Unit 6. Okay. First, I'd like to make a comment to you, Mr. Ruff. Thank you, Earl. You made a comment about the convenience stores floor plans and being more conducive to like a little coffee shop. Well, we all should know that UPCs are very important to convenience stores, and they are not going to take up space for coffee tables when they can take up space for aisles of sale items. So I worked retail many years, and there's no way they're going to put tables in there in lieu of space for selling their convenience. And Kendra, also you mentioned the property, you know, it's a business. And we'll look at this, you know, how many years before another business comes in. Well, I can honestly tell you how many businesses are out there that are not occupied in Green Bay, Deep Pier, Alloway, Bellevue. Several communities around are sitting vacant. And my answer to that is at least let's wait for the right business to go in. The right business that's going to be right for our community. And I don't think the residents on St. Joseph Street would mind something that you originally had in your plan, such as a strip mall, which would hold a restaurant, a coffee shop, a beauty salon, things of that nature. We could walk down to those businesses and utilize those businesses for our needs. That would be, you know, I'm not against something like that whatsoever, but a gas station, a convenience store, is a convenience store, and we all know very well what convenience stores bring in. And if you look, I did a crime study on convenience stores in the surrounding area, and if you call the city of Green Bay, the city of Pier, anywhere where there's a convenience store, you will see the police calls that much more. So I would imagine that you would have to hire more police officers once this convenience store comes in as well. And if Krista Oil is planning on splitting the parcel, now I become even more worried about what will be the next development. Possibly they should call Grand Central Station. Maybe they would like to put a gas station there. But that scares me as well, not knowing what their plan is for this. And I just strongly, strongly advise you to please look at this in the eyes of the residents and in the eyes of the community. We have 5 gas stations. I know someone said within a mile, but I think they're within 2 miles. There's 2 of them within 0.8 miles away from this very location where they want to go. And I just it bothers me to think that not only is it a convenience store, but the traffic, and they say they're going to close at 10. The lights aren't going to go down. The traffic will still be there. People are going to know there's a gas station there. There's still going to be traffic, regardless. And I apologize for me sounding like I'm upset, but I am. And I ask you again, look out your back doors. Do you want to look at a gas station? Thank you.
Ben Wagner, 366 West St. Joseph Street. Just a commentary on the accessibility to the Fox River Trail. I use it as much as I possibly can, and a lot of people would say I don't use very good discretion because you all live here, and that is a dangerous, dangerous place to cross. So you could have a 5-star restaurant there. You could have a McDonald's. You're not going to get people off the trail to come eat there, because you better have a lot of prudence in terms of crossing that highway, because you know as well as I do, 4:30, 7:30 in the morning to 5:30, 6 o'clock at night or whatever, I've crossed it thousands of times, but you better be careful.
Jim Warren, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. The plan as presented is simply a zoning change, not a PDD, and you're not allowed to circumvent the zoning laws by using the PDD process. So that you need a plan for the entire plot, not just putting in a gas station. Gas station's not allowed under current zoning, so you need to go through the zoning change law. Thanks.
Then to clarify, though, it is one plot at this point, so nothing's being circumvented, but I don't necessarily disagree with that comment that the whole parcel is not being utilized. Okay. There's no other comments. I'd like to hear a motion to return to regular session.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So I guess we heard the presentation, our comments, and the residents' comments. Unless there's anything else, again, a couple of hang-ups, but mine basically revolve around the uncertainty of a curb cut on Riverside and then the parcel not being fully developed with this project plan. Certainly listen to any other comments.
This is more of a question because I don't know how it works. If we do a PDD on there and it's only for part of it and they sell the other part, how does that change that parcel? Does that parcel go back into regular zoning at that point?
That's good. Yeah, that's a good question.
It goes back to commercial.
Right. That's why we requested that if a division was obtained, the parcel number with the gas station would retain its parcel tax ID number currently, so that the PDD would follow with that parcel.
And to one of the comments that we've heard, you know, typically PDDs are exciting because there are a couple more, or two or three uses going on to one site, or a mixed use of commercial and different residential or whatever else, at least in the history that I've seen it. It is kind of concerning to run through a PDD process for one use, and especially a convenience store gas station. However, it is allowed. If nothing's being circumvented, it is allowed. So that's why it's in front of us here today. But when I talk about the entire parcel being developed, it certainly is within the intent of a PDD to develop an entire parcel with various uses that typically wouldn't be allowed within one zoning district. So that's something that I think we should consider as a plan commission on the merits of this PDD request.
So we're making a recommendation to the board. Is that yes?
Yeah. We've got a final approval is actually the agenda item. So we either approve or the approval fails based on the vote. And Trevor, I don't know if you've been writing down some of our comments to make sure that the village board understands how we
don't approve it, then the board can't approve it. Is that the
board can still approve it?
The board can still approve it. Yeah,
they can still approve it, or they can turn it back to us for more consideration. So that's kind of how the process goes. And if you motion for approval, that does not necessarily mean that you have to vote for approval. So to keep the meeting going,
you can make
a motion to approve and still not vote for approval. So don't feel like you're hamstringed if you make the motion to approve.
I'll make the motion to approve as presented and pass it to the village board.
Yeah, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Kendra, second. Here we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay.
Just for verification, for the record, is that three nays?
Three nays, correct. So our recommendation to the village board at this point is to deny.
I guess technically that motion would have failed, and then I think you would have to make a second motion to not recommend it. Is that correct?
It would pass through to the village board as an affirmative, wouldn't it? At this point, it goes to the village board anyway, and we voted to not approve.
Okay, so you're saying by
default.
By default, okay. It automatically does.
Okay. By our vote.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Moving on to item number 7, approval of comprehensive plan amendment. Trevor, I don't know if you want to maybe hit on some of the bigger points. I read through it, and it looks pretty good. But more of a cleanup type exercise than anything.
That's great.
Because the recorder picks up a lot of
noise. Oh, yeah.
So sometimes hard to hear them.
Okay, so a lot of the changes, you're correct, were just kind of cleanup already. I think with the comprehensive plan being updated not too long ago, actually last January, it had kind of fit along a lot of the things that were identified in the corridor study, except there wasn't a specific maybe. So what I did was just went through and identified the Riverside Draft Corridor Study so that it's kind of a it has grounds for the future in identifying and developing, and also you know, for example, on page 37, specific changing up what was identified on Marine Street and. And then on the next page, page 38, I chose the Webster Avenue and St. Joseph Street intersection just as an example. This section was calling out different areas in the village that were identified for development. So there's five scenarios identified in the Riverside Drive and Webster Avenue corridor study. I chose Webster Avenue and St. Joseph Street intersection just because it's kind of one of those long-term identifiable things that were called out in the corridor study. Certainly can add more. That's what the Plan Commission desires. And then I also called out the Arboretum Trail and the intersections of Derby Lane and Garland and Webster. And I also took the liberty of identifying the amendment to the TID, I believe. Or no, I didn't.
Yeah, you made mention to it.
Okay. And that's in the, I guess, the assumption that that's all going to go through at the joint review board on the TID.
Trevor, on page 37, that first sentence, I was looking it over and it just reads kind of bad, poorly, I think, just from dissecting it.
The Marine Street is one of that sentence or the one?
Yeah, the first sentence, over the years. So I'm thinking something like over the years, some of the old industrial, just rearranging it a little bit.
Okay.
If you just look at it, I think you'll know what to do. It just seems reversed a little bit to me.
You can just get rid of over the years.
Yeah.
That might do it.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of wordy.
Yeah.
Or start with some of the old industrial buildings in the area along the river, Fox River, maybe just...
Yeah.
Have been replaced by restaurants and then go from there.
Yeah.
It's just a little messy.
I know, it's just kind of...
Because you're not reading us a story, Trevor.
We're over the years, your words, Trevor, they're in red.
It was, I moved it from a criticism, but yeah.
Okay.
I did have that.
I was wondering, on page 77, there's a sentence added about the corridor study recommends amending the boundaries of TID number 1. I just had a note on that. I don't really remember, but I think it was because we're kind of working on doing that now. Should that be maybe incorporated differently? But I don't know, because I know we're still in the process. Or no, did we approve at the last meeting? No. Yes.
We did.
We recommended
okay.
approval. Yeah.
So maybe change that to say based on recommendations from the board, the TID boundary has been revised or was updated in 2015 or something like that to... Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Kind of make it already happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
and then make sure that that map that's in there is the updated current map showing the boundary as it has been approved.
Final question.
Sure.
Maybe final. Throughout this document, you referred to the corridor study. Is the corridor study in its entirety going to be added as an appendix or an addendum so that it can be referenced? I assumed it was, but I don't know that I saw anywhere in here. I read fast and probably skipped some of it. But it'll be identified as approved and you know, appended or added on.
Yeah, and I can make that more clear too.
It was probably
but actually finished. I can make it clear.
Yeah,
I didn't add anything.
It'll probably just be maybe listed in the table of contents, even as an appendix.
Yeah,
or something.
That's fine. Yeah, as long as there's a reference to it and it's there.
Is that even the east-west connections were kind of already mentioned in the comprehensive plan as it is, so we didn't have to even add that.
It's interesting how some of the thought process just carries on through over every document we do, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see that the community input really backs that up too. You know, having gone through these meetings again with the corridor study and getting some of that same
and probably
input.
Different people than did the comprehensive plan are giving the same kind of input. Job of incorporating that. I was wondering how we would go about it, and when I looked at what you did, I thought you did a nice job of blending that all together, as long as it's clear where you find the document in question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as you don't fumble through the words either, right?
There's a lot of red lines in there, so a little messy.
So we're looking for a motion?
Yep.
I can make a motion to approve the revisions to the comprehensive plan, incorporating the few comments that we've made.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. We got it. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
And then just for a point of reference, Eric, aye. For your reference, this will then be noticed here this week and go before the board probably in the first meeting in November, just because of the 30-day requirement.
Sure. Okay, great. Moving on to item number 8, discussion of the state legislation on the use of the surplus revenue from the Brown County 0.5% sales tax. That's that Senate document you got.
Yeah, you should have found the packet on your desk today. Basically, what we want to do is make sure we're getting as much public input as possible in how we best utilize this 0.5% sales tax refund. Economic Development Committee had a short discussion on it. just to get the thought process going, and it's going to be again on their agenda this coming Friday. So what we're asking is that the various committees and commissions look at it, develop some a laundry list that will go to the board, and then the board can eventually have a public meeting on it as well to make some final determination. I didn't want to get too excited with it because it has not been passed.
Sure. Right.
But the thought process to get that started, I think, is a good thing to get going. Again, we're looking at over $700,000. And the three criteria currently is economic development, debt reduction, or tax relief. And it's, you know, although they're three listed, they're a little bit broad as well, because there's no defined indication on what is debt reduction or what is the tax relief aspect. In some of the discussions that Trevor and I have had and discussions with the Economic Development Committee, which again will make their final recommendations hopefully this Friday. Yes, this Friday. Within the TIF district right now, we have the facade program. Maybe a portion of this money could be set aside for all businesses to apply.
Absolutely.
That way we're opening it up to, obviously, well, I don't have to explain, but it does. It opens it up for the rest of the businesses to improve their facilities. You could look at potentially of setting up funds aside that could be used for low interest loans for homes, improvements. This is still an economic tool. Signage, entry signage to the village of Alloway on 172 as you approach the off ramp. You know, you'd have to get DOT approval, but again, that would be a more of a branding issue or incentive for the village. It's a nice signage that strictly identifies where we're at versus a little green sign that you sometimes see. We've looked at potentially it could be used for the corner of St. Joe and St. Joseph and Webster Avenue. So those are just a few of the items that have been thrown out. So I guess what I'm asking the commission to do is to think about this, and then maybe at our next meeting we can come back with a laundry list of potential projects.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you to please think about it.
I like that approach. I mean, the property tax relief and the tax levy support, that's the village board is going to, you know, they'll weigh in on that, but you know, the economic development side, I think it'd be great if we had three big ideas, and those all sound like pretty good ideas. It's all mm-hmm. about ROI on this.
Yes.
It's how can you take this extra money and make the biggest impact that people notice.
Well, exactly.
You know, so that's the, yeah, if there's anything that I recommend is just trying to keep that criteria in mind is biggest ROI. You know, biggest visible ROI would be huge. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's a substantial amount of money.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not as big as Green
Bay. No, not as big as Green Bay. Not as big as Green Bay, but you know, and a lot of times I think it's great that they put in the property tax relief, but you know, with that kind of dollar amount, that's not where you're going to get your impact.
No,
your
it is
impact
not.
Is going to have to be in economic development.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, three big projects out of the Economic Development Committee or something of that nature would be great.
Brad, have we heard about any other communities and what they plan on doing or what they're thinking about, or haven't they spent their money before they got it?
There hasn't been a lot of discussion at this point because I think most everyone's kind of sitting back waiting to get the check first.
Right.
Yeah.
I know Green Bay has one of the mayor's proposal was to utilize the funds to help young professionals get started in their housing wishes. That's pretty much how it was defined. You know, but then again, you look at what was in the paper today or yesterday about Bay Beach. I mean, that's again, that's a huge economic opportunity.
That's exactly where I would have thought he would have put some of that right away.
Yeah, right.
We just got $5 million to spend. So.
but really, think outside the box. Economic development is again where I truly believe we're going to see the best. Investment. Thank you.
That could buy a lot of trees for Arboretum Trail.
Speaking about that Arboretum Trail, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about something that's not on the agenda, but if we want to designate space for that, how do we go about securing an easement to accommodate the kind of Arboretum Trail that we want to encourage along that corridor? Is that something that we can do? Or does the property owner need to
If I remember correctly on that, if we were to, because I imagine that that project is going to require some state funding if we're going to move forward with it, or some sort of grant funding. And I believe you have to acquire the right-of-way in order for state funds to be used.
It can't be an easement?
Right. Okay. That's the way it used to be. I don't know if it still is or not, but that's something to look into to answer Kendra's question.
Yeah, just the trail connection from Webster Avenue to the Fox River Trail, that is all along the state right-of-way.
Okay.
So we got a permit to occupy. And then as you crossed Riverside Drive onto... Basically, it was Heritage Hills property, the DNR property. Yeah. We ended up getting an easement there, and that was allowed.
Okay. And was that, what funds, did you use state funding or federal funding?
That was both federal and state. Okay. Well, it's federal money.
Okay.
That was all federal money.
So we have the land right now to...
No, he's talking about past precedent. So when that connection that's been built along 172.
Okay. Well, they just finished.
Okay. That makes sense.
So then,
it made a lot of sense to utilize a large right-of-way.
Right.
Right.
So
it might be a little bit trickier to get somebody's an easement on somebody's private property. But,
you have to keep an eye out and kind of think about how that could happen.
I don't know if you have time, but that'd be a good question to answer. I'm curious to know whether or not the right-of-way has to be acquired in order to receive funds from another governmental body. Or something like the Arboretum Trail. Because then we can actually start marking it off and figure out how much right-of-way we need to acquire.
Mm-hmm. And minimum setbacks are things that we want to maintain on St. Joseph. Because, you know, if we were going to put something here, like what I was saying, this plan shows the sidewalk right up next to the parking lot. So there's clearly not room for a second row of trees. But when you look at it, does the terrace need to be that big? Could we shift everything in towards the street a little bit so that you'd have that kind of room? But those are the questions.
If you have time.
There's the most. It still takes up.
You say that one second.
Are there any other comments on item number 8?
One of the things that I think it was in the paper not too long ago about these, like, startup facilities for new businesses, incubators. You know,
incubators.
Where somebody has an idea and they need an office space and they need access to some technology or whatever. I don't know where the funding comes from that, or if that could be another one of our, you know, because that's helping us create work and jobs.
Yeah, with that in mind, Howard, one of the thought process that's been in the back of our minds is, you know, you did have a coffee shop that came in, and that is what they like to provide, is that kind of a quasi-meeting room.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of takes care of a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But Trevor and I will be attending, and Penny has sent that to you through the economic development issue. NWTC is hosting a workshop coming up, and it's kind of talking about what is it that NWTC can help, because they do have advances out there.
Sure. Yeah, I'm in favor of them incubating in Green Bay and setting up full-time in LA.
Yeah,
how do we make that happen?
Yeah.
Maybe they could even set aside some money to help the Green Bay Correctional Institute to
put a mural.
Paint their walls.
Oh, yeah. Paint their walls before the stuff falls off.
Great. Any other comments? Okay. We'll move on to item number 15, adjournment. or sorry, 14. We didn't table that one. So the next meeting date is October 26th. We have a bunch of agenda items that are going to carry over. Does anybody have any issues with that? Or
we tabled that. Was that?
Yeah, we tabled
that. Not due to a Packer game, didn't we?
No, not due to a Packer. We just knew that the Chris discussion was going to take a little while.
Oh.
Okay, that on that date, I will be here. Okay.
Good.
Okay, moving on to item number 15, adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Trustee Second.
Ben. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, thank you very much.
Do we have a lot of people really upset with the idea before I got here?